Hello and welcome to the Sex Within Marriage podcast. My name is JD and I blog over at uncoveringintimacy.com. And today we have another roundup of our anonymous questions page. These questions come in with only the context given in the question and with no contact information, and then I post them in our supporters forum for discussion when they come in. Every month or so, I take the questions that are submitted on that page and answer them as best as I can from my experience, knowledge, and the discussion of our supporters who weighed in. This podcast episode is the questions I received in January and February of this year, minus two that I'm going to be answering separately. Before we get to that, though, there are two quick announcements. The first is that the fullythriving.com marriage mastery online seminar is happening tomorrow. I'm going to be speaking at 3 p.m. Eastern time, but there's a whole bunch of speakers throughout the day. If you want to go sign up for that, you can go to fullythriving.com/J. There's a link in the show notes. It's free. You can come learn about marriage. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be talking about why it's important to have a varied sexual repertoire in your marriage. And then next week, I'm going to be hosting our webinar about our Becoming More Sexually Engaged course for Christian wives. If you're a Christian wife and you've said things like, you know, I want to, but I don't want to when it comes to sex, or you find that you turn down your husband a lot for sex and you want to figure out how to change that, or are curious what the Bible has to say about sex, or what hormones are involved in sex drives and everything else, come check it out. It's a free webinar. You'll have lots of fun. You'll learn tons of stuff. I guarantee it. And I have a Q&A session right afterwards where you can ask questions about anything that comes up. All right, with that done, let's get on to question number one. So the first one I called the monthly masturbation challenge because almost every month somebody challenges me on my stance. And someone came to do that again. They just said simply, masturbation is not shameful. Why do we have so many unqualified people giving advice in society today? And to that I say, what would make them qualified? You know, judging from the question, I suppose if they agreed with this person, then they'd be qualified. This is what we call a confirmation bias, which leads to an echo chamber effect. In short, you only listen to, accept, read, etc., views that you already agree with. And then you find ways to downplay, disparage, or call into question the authority of anyone who disagrees with you. Now, I have many posts where I detail why I think solo masturbation is wrong. You're, of course, welcome to agree or disagree. But rather than simply stating that it's not a problem without any reasoning doesn't really lend any credence to your stance. So if you have an actual argument to make, make it, and I'll happily discuss it. Question two writes, hi. I would like to explore anal sex with my wife. She likes soft touching on her butt. However, she says that penetration with my finger is not comfortable. I use plenty of lube and I take plenty of time. I think she would be willing to try anal sex if I would ask her to try it. However, I have no desire to stretch her past her comfort zone as I want all of our sex to be mutually enjoyable. As you could probably guess, my penis is significantly larger than my finger. Does anyone have any ideas on how I can graciously progress towards a sensitive attempt at anal sex with my wife? Any feedback will be appreciated. Thanks. So the short answer is that you should not. If she doesn't enjoy a finger, she most likely will not enjoy a penis. If you both want to explore in this direction, then I'd suggest working on simply making a finger comfortable and enjoyable. Then try to progress if you get to that point, not before. Engaging in any sort of anal play requires being relaxed, both physically and mentally. If she's uncomfortable with the idea, that's going to manifest in her being physically uncomfortable because she's going to tense up, and that's going to hurt. So step one is to talk about it and ensure both of you are on board and interested in moving forward, not just you. If she's not, well, then maybe look into pegging instead. There's a link in the show notes. All right. Moving on to question three, this person writes, hi Jay, my wife and I are going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary over spring break soon, getting away for the first time in a long time without the kids. One issue though, if her calendar is correct, part of the time we're gone, she'll be on her period. I'm sure this has come up before, but do you have any tips for sexual intimacy during one's period? Yeah, it comes up from time to time. Actually, I did a survey a while back on period sex, which I'll link to in the show notes, and I wrote a post many years ago about period sex and whether or not it's lawful or sinful for Christians. There's a link to that as well. but I'm not sure we've had a question about what to do if it interrupts your vacation. Largely, that depends on you, that is you and your wife's, personal views, preferences, and comfort with period sex, fluids, and blood. So that requires a conversation if you don't already know what hers are. And a conversation is a good place to start when trying to figure out what do we do about this, because what you don't want is for both of you to have mixed expectations about what's going to happen on that vacation and then be hurt when those expectations don't come to fruition. Anyways, so here are some quick ideas. Number one, shower sex might be an option that cleans up any messes as soon as they occur, so it's easy to deal with. Number two, if you're okay with a bit of blood, you just don't want to ruin the sheets, then put a couple of towels down. Number three is, depending on when it's supposed to happen, maybe you just skip those days. For example, if you're gone for a week, maybe it's just at the start or the tail end of the vacation and you get all the sexy fun time before or after. Number four is, if you're okay with anal sex, that's an option. Five is, you could try a menstrual cup. My wife actually wrote a post on them. I'll link to it in the show notes as well. And number six is, you can use tampons and stick to external stimulation through mutual masturbation or manual sex. So there are six quick ideas, but in short, there are lots of options depending on your own feelings about the topic. I think couples tend to get locked into this idea that sex has to include intercourse, and it doesn't. There is a wide range of activities to do and try, and you might want to grab our sexploration list and then fill it out on the trip or on the way or the week before. You know, that will give you plenty of options to work with and a framework to start talking about them. All right, question four was about aging and orgasm struggles. She writes, I'm not sure how to make sense out of what I'm struggling with. As I've gotten older, it takes so much stimulation to climax, nipple and clitoral. My husband and I are both 61. We have a great marriage, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, meaning we are pretty much on the same page most of the time now that the kids are grown up. Sexually, he's very patient with my seemingly never-ending changes. So we really have a lot of fun, but honestly, it takes so long for me to have a really intense orgasm. I usually just settle for small orgasmic waves. I'm usually satisfied, but sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night wanting a release, and then it's like a spiritual battle. I don't want to wake him, and I want sleep. That being said, is this normal? I wonder if too much stimulation is causing me to be desensitized. I thought about depriving myself for a while and just to take care of him for maybe a week or two. Anyone else deal with this? So this is not the first time I've heard of it. I can't say how prevalent it is exactly. I did pull some of my old survey data and checked on a few things though. The first is that yes, as you get older, past age 40 anyways, people claim to have longer sex sessions. It's not a massive increase, but there is an increase. There's definitely a trend upwards as people get older. As well, those in the 50 plus range seem to spend time engaging in sexual sessions that exceed an hour more often than those who are younger, except for the 20 to 25 range, because apparently they're just having marathon sex sessions. That might be because they have no kids to worry about, or it might be that they're exaggerating. Anyways, the point is, yes, I have no doubt others are dealing with this. As for what to do about it, it's true that some at this stage of the game start to deprioritize orgasms in favor of pleasure and intimacy. They might choose not to have an orgasm every time they have sex in order to be assured of a better orgasm next time. And I hear this from both wives and husbands. You might also want to consider investing in a sex toy, as that can help achieve a strong orgasm when they're being difficult. And we went through some phases where my wife struggled to orgasm, particularly after some of the births. And now we have quite a collection of toys that we rarely use now because we're not struggling with that anymore. But as we get older, we might turn back towards using them more frequently. And one of our favorites is the Lehman by Mina Life. Sadly, they've stopped manufacturing them, but they still have a bit of stock left, and they're heavily discounting them to clear out the stock. So if you go to the site, there's a link in the show notes. They list the toy for $136 US, which is the retail price, but it will discount down to $34 when you check out. And the shipping is free in the US. So if you're in the US and in the market for a toy, that is a good option to get a premium toy at a cheap toy price. Alternatively, you can try some new sexual activities. Exploring new things tends to ramp up dopamine, which increases orgasmic response. And if you don't know what to try, check out our sexploration list. The link will be in the show notes from the other question. And lastly, you might want to ask your husband his opinion on being woken up for sex. For myself and many other husbands, we would gladly sacrifice sleep to be woken up for such a task. I'm not saying he will be happy to, but you shouldn't assume he wouldn't be. All right, question five is very quickly. He writes, "This is embarrassing, but how do I know if I'm in right?" Basically, turn the light on and look. Or ask your wife. Or both. All right, moving on to question six. This person says, "Just a quick question. I believe that fantasizing brings that person into your experience. Then wouldn't fantasizing about my husband, if I wanted to masturbate, bring him into that experience?" Now, I'm assuming this person is addressing my stance that all sex should include your spouse, and that you're trying to justify a solo masturbation by saying you're fantasizing about your husband, and so bringing him into the experience, and so then it's including him. And I get where you're coming from. After all, I would say that if you're fantasizing about someone else, then you're committing adultery because you've brought them into it. However, that's true in one sense, but not in another. They aren't committing adultery because you fantasized about them. In the same way, your husband isn't there just because you're fantasizing about him. So he's not involved from his perspective, and I believe sex should be a shared experience. He's not participating. You're only including him in a one-sided sort of way. And for the person who wrote question number one, this is how you pose a question challenging something. You actually come up with a new idea and then pose it as a challenge. Not just say something stupid. All right, question seven, which is the second last one, is, "I listened to an old episode on using condoms for handjobs, and I want to use condoms. I looked back, this is either episode 82 or 85. She continues, "Is this something a lot of married Christians do? I'm worried he will not be happy and say nobody does that. I asked a small group of friends, and one always uses condoms, and the other two like the idea but worried about asking their husbands. Do I tell him all that?" All right, I'm not sure how many Christians do this. I was quite surprised when I first got a question about it, and the first question I ever got about this was in the last 6 months, and I've been doing this for over a decade now. Prior to that, I don't think I'd heard of such a thing in marriage. Usually one hears about using condoms for handjobs when you're worried about spreading STIs, which hopefully isn't a concern in your marriage. Anyways, I can definitely say it's not true that nobody does it. However, I cannot quantify at all how many people do it yet. I'll have to ask in a survey one day to get a sense of that. I guess my question is, why would you want to? If it's an aversion to ejaculation, then I would definitely see your husband not being happy about that. I think many men would feel personally offended by that, as it would feel like a rejection of them. I'd imagine some other men would say that they don't really care if a condom means they get more hand jobs and more sexual intimacy, then they're okay with that trade. Others will not be happy because it decreases the sensitivity and doesn't feel as good. Some won't like it because it's literally a barrier and then it feels less intimate. So if you want to do this, I would just go to your husband and say, "Hey, I've been thinking about this. What do you think about it?" Don't try to push him. Just try to understand what his response is and why, and then have a conversation about it rather than trying to convince him to do something or accept it. And the last question is, simply, they're looking for resources for newlyweds. And I keep meaning to start a list of resources for things like this. I asked my supporters and they recommended our sexploration list, of course, as well as Intended for Pleasure by Ed and Gay Wheat, which I have not read, so I'm trusting their recommendation. I would say Married Sex by Gary Thomas and Deborah Folletta is also a good down-to-basics book. I have an entire bookshelf that I read years, sometimes decades ago, that I really should go through and write proper reviews of, also so I can refresh my memory. I've done some, which you can check out in my book review section on the site. There's a link to it in the show notes, but I've got many, many more that I have to catch up on and refresh my memory on. And that is it for today. If you have questions of your own, you can submit it on the have a question page. If you'd like to come in and be part of the discussion, you can join the forum anonymously as a supporter. There's a link to that in the show notes as well. And don't forget to check out the webinars tomorrow. And if you're a Christian wife and you're interested in the Becoming More Sexually Engaged webinar, sign up for that as well. And that's it for today. Talk to you next time.